you guests for coming on this very warm day to hear about Krishna. On a day like this, generally people think, what will soothe me? How can I get away from the heat? What will make my body feel better? Of course, Shivananda's family is from South India or Sri Lanka. So this is not that warm, right? It is? No. It's not warm here? But for most of you, this is the peak of the summer temperature. How to get relief? The body is uncomfortable at this high a temperature. The same body that you want to feel good about. You don't like bodily touch in this kind of heat. The same thing that supposedly makes you happy, under other conditions, doesn't make you happy. For example, I just came from India, and I was living in a hut, earth floor and thatch, and I would bathe outside using a pump and a bucket early in the morning. So when I first got there, it was the beginning of spring. So when you're bathing 2:30 in the morning outside, pumping the water out from the pump into a bucket, you're very thankful for the water from the pump because it's coming from within the earth and it's warmer than the outside air. So even though the outside air is nippy at 2:30 in the morning, the water feels warmer. Then later in the day at 12 noon, when it gets warm, that same water from the pump feels cool. Same thing. That's an example of the same substance making you feel two different ways. You're thankful that it feels warm in the early morning, but then at noontime you wish, well, it could be a little, the water should be warmer. It feels cool now because it's warm outside. Shows you how silly the body is. The same touch sensations that you like one day, you don't like the next day. Or even in the same day, it can change. How are we going to get the relief we're looking for? Material life is compared to be a blazing fire of material existence. How do you get relief from a blazing fire? Certainly not by increasing your desires. But that's the only program your society has for you. How to increase the flames? How to increase your desires? No one is being offered any practical techniques of how to bring the flames down. Everyone wants the flames to increase. In this way, how can people be happy? They're roasting, they're broiling in the blazing fire of material existence. And when you're in the blazing fire of material existence, just a bucket of water won't save you. You've ever tried to put out a forest fire with a bucket? No. The forest fire is too big. The only thing that puts out a forest fire, basically, if it rains. Forest fires, they can get so big that only rains can put them out. Rain clouds of mercy. That is what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna's mercy is more than enough to put out your blazing fire of material desire. That is what's troubling you. You see, there's nothing wrong with desire, but we don't know how to desire properly. We're so ill-informed and ignorant about how to desire properly that we think the solution to the problems of life is to stop desiring completely. You cannot do that. As long as you are a sentient, conscious entity, you must desire. Therefore, the real solution is to learn how to desire. We are in trouble in the blazing fire of material existence because we are desiring the wrong things. Bhakti yoga, the art, science, and culture of Krishna consciousness, means how to desire the appropriate things. how to desire the correct things. When the soul desires Krishna's pleasure, then there is actual satisfaction. Krishna is the Supreme Soul. Our life is meant to live in relation with Krishna. When we desire for Krishna's pleasure, that is perfection. And when we desire for our own pleasure, as if we exist separate from Krishna, that's when the problems are there. So you can analyze your life and see how you're desiring things for yourself as if you exist separately. How am I going to satisfy me? What's this do for me? What are you doing for me? Isn't that how you size up the world? As soon as you wake up in the morning, you analyze, what's this day going to do for me? You look at your friends and family, what are you doing for me? As if you're some big independent entity, when all you are is such a tiny thing. Real life means to think, how can I satisfy the Supreme Lord? How can I satisfy Krishna's senses? We cannot deny that. We cannot say that we don't know how to satisfy senses. Birth after birth, we've been trying to satisfy our senses. So if we take that same inclination and know-how and try to satisfy Krishna's senses, then everything starts to work. And that is Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, you can see the extraordinary value of simply trying to satisfy Krishna's senses. That is the example we are trying to set. Each individual devotee is trying to satisfy Krishna's senses. Otherwise, to try and satisfy yourself, you've probably noticed, is very boring after a while. Very boring. You do so many things to yourself trying to enjoy. Ladies go to the hairstyler, the hairdresser. So much effort. Maybe this will do it. The hairstyle. That will make a difference. And cosmetics, a little dab of this, a little smear of that. Yeah, that'll do it. And then they go clothes shopping. Maybe if I get some clothes that match the special mood I'm in today, that'll do it. And the men, they have so many complexes. Am I man enough? Am I strong enough? Do I have enough money? Have I made my mark in the world? Is my car fast enough? Is my computer fast enough? Am I as virile enough as I imagine myself to be? These are all men hang-ups. This is very monotonous. It's very constricting of your life. Constricting, restricting. It gets very boring and happy after a while. The intelligent person comes to the conclusion that he or she is tired of satisfying the senses. Everybody gets fatigued like that from time to time. But if you don't know anything better to do, then as soon as you've rested a bit from your eternal quest of sense gratification, you get right back into it again. In Krishna consciousness, we identify the problem very clearly. The problem is trying to satisfy our senses, and we forget about Krishna's senses. Once we identify the problem, that doesn't mean that there's no sense gratification. Yes, there is sense gratification in Krishna consciousness, all for Krishna's senses. But we are part of Krishna. So if you satisfy Krishna, automatically you'll be satisfied. That is the mystical thing about bhakti yoga. Efforts to love Krishna get results that are distributed to everyone. You've tried just loving one person, and it just doesn't last. Even if you think it has lasted, the person will die on you. Efforts to love Krishna, however, are distributed to all living entities. The result, the benefit. How it is that everyone can practically feel the benefits of someone trying to love Krishna? That is the mysticism of Bhakti Yoga. Now we are speaking about Krishna, and you may say, there's not many people here. There's not many people here who you can see. But talks about Krishna benefit all living entities, the visible and the invisible. When we leave this place, because we've talked about Krishna, anyone who comes into this place afterwards will get some of the benefit. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that talks about Krishna benefit the person who's talking, like me, benefits the persons who are hearing, that means you, benefits anyone in the audience who happens to be standing around. And even after the meeting breaks up, when someone walks into this room, they'll still get benefit because there was a talk about Krishna here. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Shrinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiryantasta Hibhadrani Vidunoti Surhit Satam. When you start talking about Krishna, the Lord within the heart, the super soul, notices and he reciprocates. What does the super soul do? Because you're hearing about him? From within your heart, he cleanses the desire for material enjoyment. This is what troubles us, the desire to enjoy matter. We need to be decontaminated from that desire. Then you can start to become happy. But as long as you're troubled by desires to walk into the blazing fire of material existence and burn, how are you going to be happy? Your society teaches you to be happy. The higher you have a disease, fever, the more happy you should be. You have so many desires. Oh, that's great. You're so lucky. Real human life means to bring down the desires, bring down the flame of desires. And learn how to desire spiritually. Bring down the flame of material desire, increase the flame of spiritual desire. It's desire that troubles us, and it is desire that can bring us perfection. Krishna consciousness recognizes this thing about desire head on and offers a full therapeutic program to deal with misplaced desire. Don't delude yourself that you're going to stop desiring. No, it is impossible. What we do need to learn is how to desire properly. Simply desiring matter will not satisfy you. Birth after birth, you'll try for that satisfaction, but you'll never get it. All you're left with is the energy wasted in that endeavor. Proper desire in Krishna's service begins with chanting his name. When you chant Hare Krishna nicely, Krishna hears nicely. What does that mean? That Krishna hears nicely? It means he pays attention to what you are chanting because you are paying attention to what you are chanting. If you will chant nicely, Krishna will hear nicely and make spiritually nice things happen in your life. It's a reciprocation. You chant nicely Krishna's name, he will hear nicely what you are chanting. That means he'll pay attention to you. And when Krishna pays attention to you, then your life can properly progress. Any questions? You can feel Krishna's reciprocation. Just like I was asking last night to Moni Bunda's wife when she asked a question like that. Let's be practical. Let's be very... Let's not make Krishna consciousness so far away sounding. Well, how do you know that Krishna's paying attention to you? How do you know when your wife's paying attention to you? Is she here? How do you know when she's paying attention to you? Huh?
If you look at me, then I know she's paying attention.
Yeah. So a devotee can also feel the glance of Krishna. Your wife can look at you, but Krishna has no eyes. Krishna can look with his ears. He can look with his nose. All his senses are interchangeable. Angani yasya sakalendya rikyamanti govindam adi purusham tamaham najami. You can feel Krishna's reciprocation through the prasad, through the holy name, through the deities, through the shastra. Through the association of other devotees, through the spiritual master, of course. Anything else? So let me ask our few guests here tonight some questions. Why wouldn't you seriously take up Krishna consciousness? Why wouldn't you? I mean, it could be a lot of things. You feel that you'd have to change your dress, or you'd have to give up society. Why wouldn't you? Any guests volunteer to answer? Are you a guest?
I'm a Christian.
Ah, praise the Lord.
And I really feel that as a believer, that all Christian, religions are very, intertwined, and it's up to the individual to have the choice which, depending on their upbringing and what other things, where you are in life and what your beliefs are, but it still has to be a very individual thing.
Mm. It should depend not so much on your upbringing, because that could be cultural, your cultural baggage that you inherit. What you should do is take it as your individual human responsibility to find the most comprehensive, profound system for love of God. That should be your responsibility. Not simply that, well, I was born into this. But no, you have a responsibility to find the most effective, productive system for loving God.
Being open-minded is the beginning.
Yes. Being open-minded is the beginning. While we're looking at other religions, we should know what religion is. Religion is what?
A repetitive habit? Yeah, Christianity and religion.
So how would you define religion?
I think every day. You just continuously do it without really aware of why you're doing it. But whereas Christianity is really a belief that comes from
a belief. Religion can be defined very easily. It means the process for loving God. Following the laws of God so that you can love God. The most effective religion is that which develops the highest degree of pure love of God. What is pure love of God? Loving God without any desire for your own sense gratification. So it's very nice that you're considering yourself a Christian, yet you're coming here. You come here and you will learn how to be the best Christian. Anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness is the best Christian. Anyone practicing Krishna consciousness is following the teachings of Christ perfectly. Because the teachings of Christ are meant to direct you to love of God, love of the Father. Obviously, if we're going to effectively love God, we must get information about God. Have you ever tried to love someone you didn't know? How did it work?
Often remember that, like one instance when my young daughter was about 10 years old, you know, going to church, and she said, of course, says, you must love your neighbour. She says, but I really don't like Luke, and this is the boy that lives next door. She says, I really don't like the boy that lives next door. Why should I love him? And it's the child's view.
So she's pointing out that her daughter, when she was 10 years old, was taught in church to love her neighbor, but there was a guy next door about the same age, and she said, well, I don't want to love him. I can't love him. So she's saying that's the child's concept, but that's also the adult's concept too. The fact is, if you're going to effectively love someone, it means you have to be attracted. Love means attraction. Now, how can you be attracted to God if you know nothing about God? In Christianity, at least you know that He sent His Son who died for you. But you don't know anything about God. The Bible is not very voluminous about the details of Godhead. So therefore, people focus on Jesus. God must love us because He sent His Son. But they don't know anything about God. Because Jesus was speaking to very simple people who lived in the desert, and fishermen like that. So He gave them very basic instructions, but He did not teach them any in-depth understanding of God. He just said things like, in my Father's house, what? There are many, many rooms, many mansions. If it were not true, I would tell you so. But He didn't talk about the Father. He didn't describe. So therefore, people end up trying to love Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. You come to the Father by me. Basically, He's telling you, I am the Guru. You come to the Father, to God, through the Guru. In Krishna consciousness, we accept Christ as Guru. And the Guru's job is to give as much knowledge of God as the people can understand. But in your Bible, you'll find Jesus saying to His disciples, there are many things I long to tell you that your ears cannot possibly bear to hear. That means they're not qualified. So, if you're going to be a real Christian, you have the responsibility to develop your attraction to God. That means you have to have knowledge of God. Okay? It's a continuous ongoing quest until you find the one shop, the one store that supplies everything. You had an experience of wandering around Perth buying this at one shop and buying that at another shop. And then one day your friend tells you, you know, they've just built a new big store that has everything. You have a store like that here? Kmart or something? Huh? Target, Kmart. Whereas previously you used to go from little shop, get a little stationery here and a screw at a hardware store there. But you go to Kmart, it's everything there. One-stop shopping. So your quest will be fulfilled when you find the one place you can go to and get the greatest knowledge of God. Another problem of the way people practice Christianity is that they think they're the body. They cannot discriminate between the body and the soul. So their so-called religion becomes a bodily religion. But in Krishna consciousness, you can learn precisely of the distinction between matter and spirit, the body and the soul. Otherwise, you cannot love effectively, as long as you think you're something you're not. You have read Bhagavad Gita? Oh, such a person as you, thirsty for knowledge of God, you must read Bhagavad Gita. You know what the word Bhagavad Gita means? Those two words? Gita means song, and Bhagavad means of the Supreme. Bhagavad Gita is the song of the Supreme One. So I recommend that a fine, intelligent person as you should read Bhagavad Gita. That's the best way to widen your knowledge of God. What do you think? Yes. You have the time? Or you're working hard? Well, still, you have time to read. See, this is Bhagavad Gita. If anything, you can read it telling yourself it's one of the world's great literary classics. Any other questions? It'll give your intelligence and heart a real workout. You'll be staying up at night reading in ecstasy. Yes. What do you read late at night? Yes. Well, if you read this Bible late at night, your heart will be pounding with delight. You read the Bhagavad Gita at night, right? She likes Krishna book. All right. That's the next one you can read. Read about Krishna. But for now, you read Bhagavad Gita. That's the basic knowledge of Godhead. So that's my personal recommendation to you. You immerse your intellect in Bhagavad Gita, and it will become scintillating. Yes. Anything else? Yes. Chanting is so powerful because Krishna is the same as his name. What is your name? So if we say Steve, 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 you're not there in your name. But if you say Krishna, 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 Krishna is the same as his name. Otherwise, why should we repeat Krishna's name over and over again? You can say potato chips, potato chips, potato chips, but you won't taste a potato chip that way. But if you say Krishna, 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 you will taste the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is non-different from his name, his form, his qualities, his activities. You want to test this mysticism out for yourself? You yourself start to chant Hare Krishna seriously. Do you do that? A little, huh? Or a lot? Neither have I. I haven't been here very long either. Huh? Yeah, we do too. Welcome to the club. The chanting, its first effect is that it cleans the heart of material desires. And its second effect is that it connects you to the unlimited ocean of bliss at Krishna's lotus feet. Positive and negative, simultaneously. So first you're going to feel relief from the blazing fire of material existence. And then you're going to start to feel the fragrance of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. Anyone here? Can't hear.
She gets confused with what the meaning is with the other. She's another chanting. She gets confused.
Chanting Krishna's name is the most personal thing you can do. Even in your ordinary life, if someone you like calls you very sweetly, isn't that very personal? Like if your son calls you, Mom, Mom, isn't that music to your ears? To be wanted. A joy only a mother can know. To be wanted by an entity that comes from your own womb. It's the mother's private joys men can never know. Men, they sire the child, but the child's not born of their body. But ladies, they have this deep connection. This child came from my womb. So when the child calls you in dependency, it's very personal. That's just an ordinary example to show that when you call Krishna, that's very personal. You're not the same as the name Mum. But Krishna is the same as his name. Now maybe you are troubled by speculations and conceptions from whatever you were doing before. That means you should read about Krishna consciousness and then your misconceptions will be cleansed. Don't be intellectually lazy. Push ahead. What do you think? All right. Thank you all very much for listening attentively. Hare Krishna.